the left-hand side of the shelf. I don't know.
Like the water next to your knees. I'm like, do I have water next to my knees?
Frank, you've been on the podcast before.
I have.
So same thing goes. If you need to redact something, take a pause. If you're saying something and you want to say it over, just pause and I'll cut it and roll into it. This is an explicit podcast, so you can cuss on the podcast if you wish to do so. And that's pretty much it. What I would like to touch on, I was wanting to link up with you before the podcast. Some of the stuff that, well, I mean, we'll talk to you about what you got going on with Cobalt. Of course, your new stuff coming out. Mm-hmm. And then anything that you've particularly seen on the floor
that
you're like, okay, that's cool. Because I assume you have walked around the floor a little bit.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about, you know, some of that stuff. And this will release this one sooner rather than later. So it's more of a hot item podcast.
Cool.
I think your cords are round.
It's the first time I've ever been referred to as hot. Thank you.
Yeah.
Can you tell my wife that?
I will.
Okay, cool.
I'll let her know.
Someone loves me.
Yeah. And this was, so the funny thing about this being shot and my first shot, this is my first opportunity to meet some people.
Yeah.
Right. And so like I walk out.
Finally putting some faces to the names.
I say hi to Frank because I've met Frank in person last, you know, what, yesterday at some point?
Yeah. Right, or well, Monday night.
Monday night. At like, the Leatherneck. And then Gabe stands up and introduces me because I wasn't tracking you were coming. You're like, I'm Gabe. And you smile great big at me. I'm like,
yeah.
Okay.
Who's this weirdo?
Why is he smiling at
Sir,
me?
Sir, you can leave the food there. Tips on the table.
Literally somebody I've talked to for years at this point now on the phone, you know? And that's what's cool about SHOT.
Is this really your first SHOT show?
Yeah, this is really my first SHOT show.
The first thing I'm thinking of is Billy Madison when he tells a kid, stay young as long as
when he's shaking his
don't
face.
Grow up.
He's
like, the kid's like, oh. This is my 16th.
Oh, God. Yeah.
That's a lot.
Run.
How many have you gone to?
This is number 7.
One of my first ones was the last one in Orlando.
Yeah, that was before my
when
time.
A young Chris Costa had just unveiled the Masada.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm old.
Chris, could you turn myself up in my head a little bit?
Or okay.
You could turn mine up a little bit. I'm kind of deaf.
It's actually, there we go.
That's perfect.
Yeah. There's a fine blend of too much volume here, and then you can hear the whole podcast. And so if you're listening to it in the car, you're like, who the fuck's behind me?
Yeah.
Who's the breather?
Yeah. And then anyway, it's a hard thing. But we've got that. 16
red
shot shows.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot.
A lot of scars.
Yeah. Usually, so since I worked for Ike, there's been opportunities for me in the past to come when I was writing for Recoil, mm-hmm. And that didn't work out. And then working for Ike, it was always one of those things like, hey, it's really inconvenient for me to travel. I'll just stay back and make sure everything runs right. And this year he's like, can you please come? Like, yes, I can. And so landed, absolutely amazing time so far because like getting to meet people
mm-hmm.
that I've known for decades on social media. Like Dwayne this morning.
Oh, yeah, Lip Tech.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Just walk up. Hey, buddy. He's like, oh, hey. And just moving through that circle and seeing people that you've known and like looking up and like,
is you the name badge check real quick?
Yeah.
You
know? Is that like circle Rob bar. Hot?
So oh, yeah. Is yeah. Hard mode when it comes to that because you don't have the name tags available.
You're like, and I don't know like, who you are.
I met Ryan Hay in person the first time at the Circle Bar, and the way that happened was he slapped me in the back hard enough for it to sound like my chest was a drum. So after I like caught my breath and turned around, he's like standing there like, and I'm like, I don't look at people's pictures on Facebook, so I don't know who this person is. So I was like, all right, wait, I'm at a bar. Hey man, I'm like 5 deep, like I'm inebriated. Just give me a name real quick. And he's like, Ryan Hay. And I was like, oh shit, bro, I talk to you all the time, what's up? But, yeah, I you find yourself reflexively looking for the name tag at Circle Bar and then being like, shit.
Yeah. Yep, got caught.
How do I play this off?
The one that I love is the folks that you see every show and they're waiting for you to initiate contact and they're just like looking at you walking.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey.
Hey!
I'm like, I know your husband. I know your wife. Like, what's wrong? What's, you know, like, the awkwardness is the one that I find funny. Or when you've known someone on social or whatever for a while and they don't know who's going to initiate, you know, I love that moment. It's always the funniest. I find comedy in all different types of things. But it's the funniest thing out there.
Yeah. I texted, Milspec Mojo earlier.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like,
old Don.
I was like, is that, I thought he was shorter. I don't know if he's a shot. Oh, he is a shot. I got texted him. I'm like, are you a shot? He's like, yeah. It's like, I'm pretty sure that still was not Milspec. Cause that dude was a little bit taller than
Imposter. I saw him walking around, but he is.
I saw him at the Magpul booth.
Yeah.
Yesterday.
We're going. I like you, so I'm going to edit that part out.
So it looks like this will not be the hot and ready.
We'll just
there'll be so many like redacted beep.
Yeah, we've done that.
It's gonna be 59 minutes of beeps, and
it's gonna look like the Warren Commission report. Yeah. The black lines.
The
Epstein JFK. The Epstein list. But so we allow Frank to know that we're recording.
Okay,
if you want
so
to.
Now this is more for Frank's or Paul's benefit than y'all's. But welcome to the Big Tech Ordinance podcast. We are recording now, Paul. So choose your words carefully.
I have foot and mouth things all the time.
Okay,
you're good. I don't
feel. But that's just now. Your OnlyFans. So.
No, but this is the Big Tech Ordinance podcast. We're here at SHOT Show 2024. I'm Ike. We have Chris, Ian, and then our guest today, or Paul or Frank, depending on what he wants to go by today.
From the Tasker Network.
That's true.
And then we have Gabe here from Cobalt
Kinetics. We're a perfume line. we bought such properties as Elizabeth Taylor's Diamonds, which is always a crowd favorite.
Don't y'all make like a car or two? Or is that Chevy?
No, that's the Yugo. Oh. But we use the same parts.
And toolboxes, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I actually...
That's their German...
here's a rifle rack hack. Buy the Cobalt, like the little tool thing.
Yeah.
You ever seen that? For like $20. And you can buy the little inserts for the shovels and you can hang them by the buttstocks. I did that in my garage. Yeah. All in, $35.
Oh, yeah.
So you just have a bunch of rifles hanging in your garage?
He's got a bunch of rifles.
First of all, lower your voice.
No, I just wish it was a problem I had. And
all right, Fed.
And that my wife would let me do that. Did you guys hear that he's got rifles on his wall?
Cobra.
There's some 12.5s, there's 11.5s, no tax stamps.
Well, I got to fake my death now. A lot earlier than expected.
Do you have a dog?
Not anymore, apparently.
Yeah, had a dog.
He'll let the feds in, though. He's kind of an idiot.
That would be my dog.
Friend?
My dog, the one would fucking try to bite your ankles, and the other would be like, all right, guys, let me show you where all dad's guns
are. My 7-year-old will bite your ankles. My dumb boxer will open up the door to make new friends.
That's awesome. So. That's awesome. How long you been with Cobalt, man?
Oh, man. Too long. I'd say my official hire date was October 21.
And what'd you do before? You've been in the industry, so I assume at least 16 years.
Yeah. Was in service for a while, got out, contracted for a bit because the economy took a kind of a shit.
So 2008.
Yeah. But, you know, I had still kind of started making connections back then, and then I did LE stuff for a little bit. Hiring freeze, so it just kept on following me. So we moved back down to Miami, where I'm from originally. And what was my hobby became my main thing, at least to kind of hustle until things opened up. And it led me to the doors of Taurus. I was the first gunsmith they actually hired off the street, because they used to kind of like, you know, you had to be in production and stuff like that. And then from there was internal promotions. Within 6 months of being there, I applied for trainer technical rider position, which is more of a corporate trainer position. Then I was training all the gunsmiths and customer service folks and overseeing the secondary inspection that we were doing at the time to make sure that quality was what Brazil said it was. And then I became the first product manager for the company. That's when a wonderful, wonderful CEO by the name of Mark Kresser was the CEO there. He was, I want to say he was the one, had he been given the opportunity to really turn the tide for Taurus. Brett is doing an amazing job right now. But I'd like to think that Mark played a big role because he used to hold the Brazilians accountable. They were kind of using us as a distributor at the time. Mm. They would send whatever product and then we can't send it back. After that, I started my own marketing company, and there's a lubricant brand by the name of Breakthrough Clean. Mm. Eric Navarro, the owner of the company, had started that for about 6 months. I had met him when I was a Taurus, and then I'm like, hey, can we do something? And then we blew up the brand. He just sold it to Allen Company for millions.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so point of pride.
Yeah.
And we worked on the Bass Pro program together, and I kind of, you know, untethered, learned the ropes, ins and outs of the industry. And then there's a company by the name of Roscoe Manufacturing that I started back in 2017 when I met the owner, Mike D'Angelo Jr., and did some pretty cool stuff there. And that's how I met Aaron mm-hmm. when he bought Cobalt, and now I'm here. So I've kind of become, it's a niche thing, but I've kind of become the rebrand guy or the fixer because I've also done consulting on the back end for different companies. Yeah. I've been blessed that people somewhat take me seriously, and here we are.
Nice.
Yeah, and you know, I really appreciate the intro over to the dudes at Roscoe. I'm probably not going to get down to the floor and meet up with Rich.
They're
over
dead
there.
To me now. I'm at Cobalt.
It doesn't seem like that. There's a lot of barrels going.
Get away from me, you pores. Nah, yeah, I was actually just with Mike. Actually, he wanted a shout out. So it's that camera.
Yeah.
His nickname is the Red Velvet. More to come. But yeah, they're awesome people, and they're still extended family. I'm fortunate enough to never have really screwed anybody over, which is a big discipline thing for me. So I can walk in any company I've ever worked for and just hang out.
That's cool.
That Red Bull I was drinking during lunch, I raid the fridge at Taurus all the time. You know, they got money. But yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. Paul, what about you? Give us what are you doing with Tasker? How'd you start that?
So back in, what are we, 2024? So almost 3 years ago, it was February 2021, I purchased LightFighter.net, which is kind of like the source for a lot of people we follow and look up to and respect back before social media came into being as it is now. And forums were still the thing. LightFighter was probably the highest regarded. Pat Rogers held court there. A lot of Chuck was a big thing there. So when the 2020 election went down, and in January 2021, social media went like on a hyperactive silencing of the 2A crowds. Like groups were getting deleted out of nowhere. People, like, I couldn't
that
use...
That sounds familiar right now.
2024.
Yeah. So I couldn't use... I could not post, comment, click like on anything for, like, a week. Someone thought Tactics and Applications got deleted, which is, like, the Facebook side of Tasker. You guys are all in it. You're familiar with it. So, I remember Landfair was like, hey, do you want me to make like a tactics and application section on the primary and secondary form? And I was like, that's extremely generous of you. But by that point, I was already in negotiations to buy LightFighter, so I kind of had to stay mum about it. And the reason we did that was so, like, if social media became so hostile to our industry, we had a fallback point beyond the auspices of basically Meta. Because if you're seeing it on Facebook and Instagram the most, now that Elon bought Twitter and turned them into X, it's a little bit more free, but it's a whole different format or whatever. So between LightFighter and Tactics and Applications, both being like a vetted, like you can't just come in. Like we check you at the door to make sure you're not a shithead, basically. But there is a lot of high quality discussion that goes on in both of those places. And I didn't want to necessarily deprive everybody else that didn't know we existed of that quality information. So Tasker is basically like a broadcast point to harvest from that discussion what becomes the content that I write in my articles and stuff like that, or the stuff you see me posting on Instagram. And on the back end, I've like accidentally in small bits and pieces here and there found myself doing like consulting and stuff like that too, which I don't really like put out there, but it's a fun part of like being involved in the industry when people hit you up and they're like, hey, like Gabriel did this with, when Cobalt was getting ready to go into their 308 sized rifle stuff, he's like, hey man, I wanted to talk to you because I know you know your way around like large frame architecture ARs, because back in like May 2020, I wanted to do a 308 version of the Blood Diamond gun because I realized there's no like XM177 in 308, so I want to do it. And it was a whole learning experience between the different like receiver patterns and thread pitches and so on and so forth. So I wrote a piece about that that really went into the weeds, because a pet peeve of mine is when people categorically refer to any large frame AR as AR-10. Like AR-15 has a standard spec across the industry. So there's your AR-15s of various manufacture, but really the only AR-10 is what Armalite puts out, because there's differences to their receiver specs and stuff from a Knights SR-25 or a DPMS, whatever, or an LWRC Reaper. There's really no standard spec. So figuring out how to navigate, like I will say AR-308 instead, because that's a little bit more broad. So coming off of that, he's like, hey, we'd like your input. We're developing this, you know, we're starting to look into 308 stuff. And it was kind of a cool, like, I was like beside myself. Like, I was very humbled. That was very cool of you, by the way. But I was like, you want my input on something you're going to sell and pay your employees with the money you make off of it? All right. Yeah, that's cool. I'll be happy to help. So we talked for a while, and he took notes. And I mean, how far along are you with that now? Like, whatever happened with that? Because I know there was like a pause.
Can we even talk about it?
So,
surprise!
We covered that before we went live.
All right, let's start this again. Take three.
So, if you would roll back in the
No, we can for sure talk about it. Cobalt used to have one. So we just... So I will say this, and I'm going to throw it right back to you. We took a lot of the old products off the SKUs and everything else, because I'll be the first one to say it, and a lot of people are very kind when they mention the previous call. Oh, yeah, it was a gas station boner pill of a rifle, okay?
Hey, there's nothing wrong with those.
Look.
Do they work?
Whatever,
I don't know. We should ask
whatever happens at the Flying J is between you and the Flying J, okay? But it was the Von Dutch trucker hat of ARs. So they had to go. They had to go. So part of the conversation was that we have taken notes. The design is there. We're calling it the XL platform, to your credit. I'm 100% on board with his terminology, the way he sees it, even the article about GPR and everything else. That's actually how we see things. But that one has to fill a purpose for a contract somewhere else first. And then, you know, we can green light production here in the States. But yeah, there is some cool stuff coming on that end.
Hi, I'm Chris from Big Tech's
Ordnance. And I'm Ian from Big Tech's
Ordnance. And today we've got the weekly update. So first off, from Voltor is the classic Murr upper receivers, right? So we've got them in foliage green, black, standard black. Those are my picks. What do you got over there?
For all the wheel gun enthusiasts out there, we've started carrying some Safariland Comp 3 and Comp 2 speed loaders for J frames and K frames. So if you guys need a good speed loader for all of your revolver needs, we got some. We have the new Streamlight Wedge XT also. These come in black and FDE. Great little task light. You know, drop your keys underneath the couch. You're looking for your burrito. Good little option from Streamlight. Comes with a little lanyard on it as well.
Solid price point on those. I'll have to reference the price point on
USB-C
those.
USB-C rechargeable, and it has a deep carry pocket clip on it.
Yeah, so option.
Looks great.
Coming up, there's a bunch of classes. We've got Paradox training. Going to be across the street at the range. doing that the 27th, not this weekend, but next weekend. Anyway, lots of training events coming up. We just also posted the Sons of Liberty.
Oh, yeah, the Armors
class. Armors class in May. It's up on the website. Anyway, thanks for watching.
Be safe.
Finger guns.
And we've always, you know, the Cobalt, the rebranded Cobalt, the
Cobalt Nouveau.
Well, there was Cobalt Kinetics, and technically now we just go by the short version Cobalt, even though on paper it's Cobalt Kinetics.
Okay, so the Aaron
era,
era, right? First off, dude is funny as shit.
I know. Like, him and I are just...
Can you have a conversation?
Oh, absolutely. I'm ready to tell stories.
But that the changing of the guard, the hand over there, and the little tweaks in that platform and building that gun that we've done that was at the range and that's been getting ran ragged all the time was a really cool experience to look at the different things in the platform, right? The different ways Cobalt has approached different problems with their solutions to it. And it's been really cool to work with and see where y'all are going with that stuff. And interested to see what the 308 platform looks like. But I want to talk about the can. Can you talk about your flow? It's flow through, right? Or not? Wait, it's
vent to atmosphere.
Vent to atmosphere.
Because we don't like lawsuits,
right?
They suck. So and just like what he was saying, we're about as transparent as you can find, and we're the first ones to broker a very open conversation with folks. We're in a community, and we say we are, so we got to act like we are, right?
Yep.
Instead of doing stuff behind closed doors and creating borders. That's how the terrorists win. The idea was Bobby from CGS Group.
Mm-hmm.
I think at this point there's no mystery. Really good friends of ours. He hit it off with Aaron. Aaron's a sweetheart.
Yeah.
What a mensch, right? He's hard to not like. So Aaron, through law enforcement contracts and visiting you guys, he spent a lot of time in Texas and working with Bobby. And every chance he could, he'd spend as much time with Bobby talking about cans. And Bobby's like, hey, let's work on something. You know, so yes, it is a collaboration, you know, kind of like a melding of the minds. But, and I guess that's where the confusions come from. It's not just a rebranded CGS product. So the idea was, create something that not just works within the ecosystem of our, you know, family of products,
right?
But also, just like every accessory that we've created, enhances or works very well with something else that's already existing. Because the whole thing about it and our whole design language is, do not pass the burden on to the consumer. What does that mean? Products that work perfectly because we try and design a rifle or a firearm that is intended for a certain performance factor, right? So we try and fix a lot of the things that we see that may not be the way to go with other ones.
Mm-hmm.
And then those same products, hey, can enhance something else. So that's how the can went. And it's and maybe you can insert footage here. But it's a 3D printed titanium can. Laser powder bedded fusion is the method used for that. 50,000 plus round life expectancy, full auto rated, vent to atmosphere. We have two versions, a direct thread for 1/2 by 28 threads.
Okay.
And a QD version that uses the CGS Group SCI-6 pattern. And obviously we've created one under the RCB, Reduced Concussive Brake family. Both of them have a 6mm bore. Now, they are originally designed for 5.56 and possibly 6 arc, but and for those of you that actually track the company, you notice that the folks that we surround ourselves with, everyone brings something to the table, right? Don Edwards, you know, Duffy, Joe Farewell, Kawa, Cole and DJ. Nah, just messing with them. I'm probably going to get beat up by Cole later on tonight. But those guys have helped us out a lot. Everyone brings something to the table. And of course, I'm mentioning GBRS Group. Everyone's had input. And one thing that we noticed with the six millimeter bore is if you're a law enforcement officer or you're in a tactical team or something like that, you don't have to take that can off now to put on a, you know, blue can or something like that, which those guys are awesome. They're from South Florida, where I'm from. You can keep it on there. UTM and simunition, all that stuff won't get stuck in the baffle. So you start seeing these little intricate details and everything that we do that paint a bigger picture. And that's what we try and do with everything. And so far, the can has been amazing. We're coming out with an Inconel version as well that has been tested on belt feds. The first, we can talk about it now, the first contract where they went with the cans and our rifles, and they're, you know, just running them hard, is Miami-Dade Police Department's special response team.
Yeah.
And their canine teams. Completely outfitted.
Nice.
And they love them. And those guys are, I love them. I know them very dearly. They will not hold back, especially because it's me. Somebody else can get away with something, not me.
Yeah.
Because they know where I live, too. No, and they're hard on products, and they're fortunate to be probably one of two only full-time SWAT teams in all of Florida.
Oh.
There's 67 counties in Florida. From what I understand, it's Miami-Dade SRT and JSO SWAT that are the two true full-time teams out there. Other guys claim to be full-time, but they put them in some sort of different unit, and, you know, then they get call-outs.
And we know the crazy shit that happens in Florida.
Oh, yeah. Well, they've taken over all the warrants, and when those FBI agents got killed, they had to take a whole slew of federal stuff, too, and start helping out. And there's a lot of stuff going on in South Florida now that definitely, for sure, I can't say on the podcast, but they needed good equipment. They needed really, really good equipment, and they have their own training section, too. So they put it through the paces. They held us to task, and then now what I was hoping to have by the beginning of the SHOT Show was the report from Pew Science, because we don't like to live in an echo chamber. We like to be told if our baby's ugly or it doesn't work. Pew Science is running our can through his paces and everything else. So far, from what I understand, it seems to be doing well, so we'll see, right? And that's just the can. And then you've already seen the partnership with Voltor. They've never really let anyone design or redesign any of their products. Yep. And Brandon was just extremely hospitable and let us work with him on it. And it goes from there.
We sell a crap ton of those buffers.
I love that, though. You know what else is coming out? And I got to send you guys samples. The sleeve.
The sleeve, yeah.
So we did it first. So the A5 system obviously uses a different spring, right? You can't use carbine springs. Mm-hmm. You could try. You're going to have issues. So we created a 3D printed sleeve that goes over the A5 buffer, takes up the distance, and now you can do micro adjustments via different springs. Mm. The rough adjustment is the buffer weight.
Gotcha.
Micro adjustment is spring weight. We don't use adjustable gas blocks. I think we can all agree on that, right?
Yeah. I think we're all in agreement.
Yeah. I think it's 2024, right?
Yeah.
If you're still doubting that, then, you know, but cause gas port diameters are a thing. And that's been the story there with the products. We hope to do more stuff with different ideas on the suppressor side. Obviously, once the XL comes out, there may be something that goes along with that. But as of right now, the only two that will be around are the one that's out right now, titanium, and the Inconel coming soon. And the titanium one's only 4.6 ounces and 4¾ inches in length.
We got to shoot the can at California Range Day.
Yeah,
and that's true. It sounded,
Chris was out there.
Yeah, it sounded very... Very nice sounding can.
I was impressed, and I can't believe I'm saying this about Aaron. I was impressed that he was able to take that high pitch type of crack out of there. You know, him and Bobby, I think, did a bang up job on that. Because during some demos, I could talk about this one now. There was one not too long ago. Key West PD SRT should be getting their gun soon. They have an indoor range over in Marathon with. Monroe County, and we were shooting like crazy inside of that indoor range, and I was waiting for crack and everything else, and I never heard it. So I was impressed. I had to call him and be like, okay, all right, you did good, kid. That'll do, pig.
That'll do, pig. It's so cool to see how fast suppressor technology and
it has
adaptation and the design is moving now that we're into the 3D printed realm.
Yep.
And the fast, you know, I mean, we had Next Level Manufacturing.
Oh, yeah.
Next Level,
yeah,
armament.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
In here.
I like those dudes.
For a podcast the other day, and he was just talking about, you know, the way they're, you know, approaching stuff and design stuff and, you know, getting this and how fast they can turn around stuff. And, you know, you're like four iterations into stuff just because you're rapid prototyping with plastic or whatever it is. And now you've got all those design features. Now we're getting stuff out so fast. Mm-hmm. And it's really cool to see in the parts community and in the building community what we can get as fast as we can at the level and the quality. Mm-hmm. Again, because you can take a bunch of the recently produced cans, mm-hmm. and it's hard to be like, oh, that one's the best. That one's the best. Oh, that one has it. That one sounds a little, but like, we've came a long way in a very short time on cans.
Sorry, I'm not touching myself. It's just my phone, I swear.
you can touch yourself, too.
It's kind of a, oh, I will. It's kind of a renaissance period, like you're saying, right now. And if you've been around, I guess, long enough, you see trends, right? So not too long ago was the precision shooting renaissance, right? Mm-hmm. Hey, life exists past 1,000 yards. You're not going to fall off the face of the earth. Now people are doing it with the standard ARs. We're doing that with our 14.56 arc, you know? And Suns is killing with that 6mm max. Six, you know what I mean? Yeah. Who would have thought 5-10 years ago that ARs?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, we've talked about it multiple times on the podcast. Like, you, like, a rat grade AR, and you're like, man, this thing shoots, you know, 3-4 MOA with, you know, 193.
And you're okay. Like, woohoo.
Yeah. And then you're like, oh, man, I've got it down under 2. This thing's dialed. Seriously.
I know, but I cry when I hear that.
And you're like, all right, and now you're like,
I've lived it.
Oh, this is sub. How now we're getting down, like, okay, this is, you know.
That's allowed us to put an MOA guarantee even on our 7.5, 5.56.
Yeah.
You know, and people have called us out on it, and we've proven it. And it's just not just the way we've designed our products, but also our vendors, you know, holding themselves to a higher standard and providing a better product. It's just, but what's interesting is, though, you know, I still help out as many friends as I can in the industry. You're talking about how far we've come with 3D printing. There's a lot of folks, I'm not going to say in the cheap seats, but that aren't as involved with the development side or trying to have a two-way conversation with the consumer or going out to training classes or shooting or just being part of the 2A, you know, culture movement, whatever you want to call it. I was having a conversation. We're talking about 3D printing. I'm like, hey, maybe you should look into this. He's like, I don't know. The 3D printing, it's not really been around that long. And what materials, like, it's pretty flimsy, right? And I pull out, because we just started 3D printing our own grip, which I got to get you guys some, out of a acrylic type resin. I can get the specifics from Aaron. And I'm like, and also we're 3D printing titanium and Inconel. Like, where have you been, you know? And even though I love a lot of those folks, I'm like, man, that this is how companies disappear. This is how companies disappear. Adapt or die, right? Mm-hmm. And it just hit me. I'm like, damn it. It reminded me of the switch over on social media in 2014, where a lot of the known companies, active ones in forums back in the day, were like, lols, social media. And then guess what? Eventually, begrudgingly, they had to reintroduce themselves to a newer, younger audience that they could have had an early jump on and owned a market share with them. And now everybody's like, who's this guy? Who's that guy? And you ask someone who's been around long enough, you're like, bro, this guy's literally a legend in this industry. Yeah, to us, right?
Oh.
But then some dude that came over from the video game side, Modern Warfare, and, you know, rightfully so, because that's been the natural progression. Now I call it the Twitch you know, generation.
Yeah.
They don't know, but their money is as green as everybody else's, and there is such a thing as a dying demographic. Because a lot of the dudes that were very active 10, 15 years ago, they're getting their AARP cards right now. And they stop spending more. You know, they're looking at retirement. They're looking at, you know, paying off their mortgage. Adult level crap.
Yeah.
And the younger guys, if you do the right thing, you have just bought a front row seat for 20, maybe 22 years worth of loyal consumerism and them tuning into what you're doing as long as you're listening to them.
Like,
it blows my mind.
I would love to know how many holsters or how many sales T-Rex Arms got off of doing the Call of Duty gun series. Bro.
He's a smart kid. I get it.
Yeah, I get it. Right.
He's like, a smart kid. And we see him at soccer all the time.
Yeah, every year.
He's a smart kid. I've talked to him quite a bit. Like, not everybody's going to get along in this industry. I get it. But he's smart. He saw something. You know, and
we were talking about this last night in bed.
As weird as that sounds, we have. Hold on.
And take five.
I've been Chris's jetpack the entire week.
Take five.
We are roommates, and we were having a conversation. We have two queen beds. And this morning,
they requested a single.
He's talking about like 1950s roommate
Ian,
where your uncle is unmarried and he has a roommate friend.
Right. This morning,
that's your uncle Larry.
I caused Ian to have a flashback. I played Revelry to wake him up, and then threw a trash can across the room.
He started crying.
And he's like, "Oh my god, what? Not again!"
I've been up for all of like 3 minutes, and all of a sudden Chris comes out of the bathroom with fucking reverie. I can't say that word either.
Because you're trying to block it out, actually.
Yeah, reverie.
Start beating the trash can.
He's going to start bleeding from his nose here. Yeah.
Aluminum. Awesome. Aluminum.
Anyway, so roommates.
Yeah.
A conversation in bed.
Jetpacks.
Conversation in bed.
Yeah, you guys are sharing a comforter.
Conversation in bed. So I interrupted your story. Conversation in bed.
No, I was just saying about the whole holster thing that we were talking about last night.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You just get in there and you're like, all right, this is that. You know, how many, how does that, you know, lead into like, dude, my first holster, like, I don't even think it was a carry holster.
Say Uncle Mike's.
No, I had a Serpa. I had a Black Hawk Serpa.
Oh, I love Indies.
Right? Yeah. Or love getting it.
I also like Desk Pops.
Right? And then I think my first concealed was a horrible Comptac. I don't even get into my first pistol.
I got a
shorts.
Worse one. So you know the Springfield XDs? You know when they used to come with that little holster?
Yes.
Like that was like
a membership to Front Sight.
Yeah. So I actually used to carry a Springfield XD 45 in the factory supplied holster.
My first pistol was an M&P 45.
Nice.
Yeah.
You got to get 45.
Yeah. Because you know you got to go back in
two World Wars.
Yeah. Kill their ancestors.
Yeah.
It's however you get into this industry, and yet you're right, you don't have to all get along, but we need to promote everybody in a way that is positive when we can.
Oh, yes. And I think that's a whole other meal and episode within itself, because I got some notes on that. But I wholeheartedly agree, man. And we have some opportunities. I'm just going to say this, like, you know, depending on how this is received, but it's very genuine. What I'm trying to articulate here is Wayne LaPierre is out of the picture.
Yeah.
Finally.
Mm-hmm. Take that however you will. We are the generation right now that's going to carry it over for our children. So it's literally in our hands. No one's going to tap us on the shoulder and say, hey, buddy, you ready? It's your turn. You're at bat.
This Dallas convention might be spicy. That's coming up for NRA.
What I will ask a lot of young or younger professionals in this industry, business owners, folks like that, I never thought I'd ever say this before, get politically active. There's a lot of good dudes out there that can maybe help push around some of that futtery out of the way and really start, I mean, slide fire stock, that's all I'm going to say. Who knows what it's going to be next week?
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't like compromise. My family's from Cuba. Right? Compromise brings some bad things. I can't stand compromise or communism.
Fuck communists.
Yeah, fuck. Right in the shared queen bed.
We're not communists. We're just roommates.
Yeah. That's how it starts.
But we should be able to own machine guns.
Then you become beatniks and you start voting left. No,
very compelling. Face the wall.
It's a gateway. No, but it's you know, maybe it's a conversation that needs to be had. And I don't mind being the punching bag for it. I don't care. I want my son to be able to inherit a culture that I hold highly, highly near and dear to my heart. You know, and my grandfather, when he came over from Cuba, he had to rebuild his life at my age now, at age 40. And he loved being a gun owner. You know, he loved hunting. He loved, you know, this overly grizzled Cuban construction worker, you know, would love shooting clays and stuff like that. It's up to us. It really is one generation away from disappearing. So, I mean, if anybody's ever been on the fence.
Maybe we should get like an Adam Kraut writing campaign.
I was going to say it. I still have the pen.
Yeah.
Adam, do it. Do it. We got your back.
We'll start it right now.
Yeah.
Start it right now.
I still have the pen. What was it, 2016 NRA show? 2015?
Oh, we were talking about it. We had him on the podcast.
It was a good episode
recently. He is, I think, one of the best options out there, period. Anybody else would have to be groomed and prepped and cleaned up. He's ready to go.
Yeah.
He's just... He's ready to go.
Yeah, it'll be interesting how it all shakes out this year.
Yeah. But back to pillow talk.
You've been on the floor probably the most out of all of us in this room this year. Have you what's coming out?
So it's Wednesday. Still a couple days left, but have you gotten everywhere?
I started Tuesday on the small side.
Yeah.
That's where most of my meetings were. It just earlier in the day. So I knew. I was like, don't go into the big room until the meetings are over, because then you will get lost. I mean, thankfully, like, the NSSF is pretty consistent with their floor plan, so most booths are in the same
location. You at least have your, like, big landmark ones.
Yeah, so, like, you could, like, look through 8 booths deep, like, a mile across the room and be like, I see Knight's Armament, so that means the door is, like, that way. Yeah. But sometimes you get lost in
you
the
sauce. You got to do a reverse, like, azimuth just to get out of there.
Like, oh, God. But I did make it to the big room later half of yesterday, and then all of today up until I got here, I was walking through. Cool things I've seen so far, and I'll post about this on Instagram. I took some pictures and stuff. I usually do like a SHOT Show recap article, like, here's cool shit I saw. But while we're here, Eagle Industries, they seem to be back on their feet as like a – because I know in the past they were part of that – Vista Outdoors conglomerate, and now they have, like, whereas in the past Vista had like a giant mega booth that had like a little tiny Eagle Industries section. I just happened to be walking past an Eagle Industries dedicated booth in like the medium section of the displays and stuff, like the LE tactical, like where Ops Core and Cry Precision and stuff is, and they have on display this year the RRV 2.0. Which, so the Rhodesian Recon Vest, that's what RRV is. Yeah. And I've got one of the OG Eagle RRVs in Ranger Green. And it's like my go-to, like, if I need everything that's on my plate carrier for whatever we're doing in whatever class or who knows, but I don't need my plates, that's the one I'll grab. So if you are familiar with, like, what's been coming out lately in the gear section of the industry with like Spiritus and all like the laser cut and like little tiny holes and like it's covered in Velcro. But so it's like a new RRV, but made with new manufacturing materials, processes, so on and so forth. So I like had a double take when I looked at it, cause I was like, that looks like an RRV. And then I saw like the mannequin on top said RRV 2.0. And I was like, stop. And I go over and I'm like, tell me, like, is this going to be commercially available and can I get it in Ranger Green? And they were like, yes and yes, eventually. So I was like, fuck yeah, that's happening. Cause it's just going to be lighter and better than the original one with like the heavier fabric and stuff like that. So that I was hype about. More broadly, this was another thing I talked to Gabe about when it came to the Cobalt guns, because back in the day when it was like old Cobalt with the like the Space Blaster looking rifles and shit like that, like one of the
gas
other
station boner pills.
You heard him, right?
Now I want one.
So they had like this crazy fucking AR that looked like it had two fucking what's the fucking thing called?
Oh yeah, I called that one the Ducati dual exhaust because
forward assist.
They had two forward assists. Yeah. One was a forward assist. The other one takes you back to 1954. If you get them mixed up, it's weird. No, the other one was like a bolt drop and
yeah. So yeah. It was like picture an AR with two forward assists, and the one I guess on the this was your standard forward assist, and the one on the other side was like a bolt drop and bolt release and stuff like that. And there was a gentleman that worked at Cobalt, and I don't think he's there anymore. I don't remember his name, but
no one's there.
Okay. He was a big fan of this method of kind of sort of ambidextrous bolt release, bolt drop. And one of the things I've harped on, and I think I saw it like might have been 2023 or 2022, was more companies in the industry are starting to move towards a fully ambidextrous AR low receiver, which is we'll get to you. So. And when I say that, for those in the audience that don't know, I'm not talking, like, back in the day, we would have called, like, a Knights or, like, a Santan or whatever, like, that's a full ambi lower, but it's only got the bolt release on the same side as the mag release. And the only other option was, like, a bad lever, right? And people love to go fucking nuts over the bad lever. I did a video ranting about why it's not as bad as people make it out to be, even though I don't use them anymore, but besides the point. So, yeah, more companies, I was saying, like, we should be, like, we're in the 2020s now. There's no reason, like, every new rifle that comes out seems to have ambidextrous controls built into them already. There are multiple ways to do it with the AR-15. The two prevailing styles I see are, like, the LMT, Knights Armament, Daniel Defense style, LWRC, where it's, like, two bolt paddles on each side of the gun, and I'm not really a huge fan of that one because if you're like me and you like to keep your hand on fire control and use your index finger and your thumb to work your safety, your mag release, your bolt release, or your bolt catch, you kind of, depending on where the paddle on the right side of the lower receiver ends up, you may have to like hook your thumb on your grip and roll your hand up the side of the gun to hit it with your knuckle. Mm-hmm. And I don't like compromising my master grip and my rifle like that. So then there's the other way of doing it, which is like HK. And it used to, like, the Teal Blue Bravo PDQ was a approach, but it had problems. There are better versions of it now. Like HK is one of them. And it's like a little, or like ADM. Style, like that's my preferred method of doing it, because if you ever used a bad lever and it was like easy and intuitive to use, you get all the benefits of a bad lever, but you don't get people on the internet screaming about how you got extra shit going on in your trigger well. So I was telling this gentleman that worked on Cobalt, I was like, I prefer this not only because ergonomically it's smooth, but that double forward assist shit, I was like, I know you believe in it, but look at it from the perspective of, like, if you're trying to sell this gun to law enforcement agencies, the weirder you get compared to a normal AR and what their armorers are trained to work on, the harder the sell that's going to be versus this, where it looks like a normal AR with one piece of a drop-in part, and the only difference is there's, like, an extra hole in the right side of the lower receiver. So he was like... you know, that makes a lot of sense. I never thought of it that way. And I was like, wow, that was cool that I just convinced this, like, true believer that, like, there's a better way. So when I was first talking to Gabe and Mikey over there, I was like, hey, it'd be cool if we could do, like, a Cobalt gun. I said, these are billet receivers? And they're like, yeah. Because I remember one of the questions you had about 308 guns was, like, I was very adamant about, like, the stoner cut and the receiver, which I'll get into that. That was another cool thing I saw. But he was like, well, you know, there's, like, rail heights and this and that. And I was like, these are billet receivers, right? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, it's a proprietary rail, right? Like, you can only use your own rail. And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, you can make the rail height whatever the fuck you want. Like, it's only your rail that works on the gun. Like, go crazy, bro. You can.
That was like a simple no would have been cool.
Yeah. Like, you could have. So I was saying, like, can we get an ambidextrous bolt catch in this, like, ADM HK kind of style? And they were looking into it. I think at the time they were looking at, like, the Silencer Co. example is another one. Mm-hmm. And, they had some internal rearrangement that happened where they kind of like slowed down and got quiet on their marketing to even where I was like kind of in the dark. Like, are you guys good over there? Like, what's up? And they're like, no, we're good. We're just kind of like trying to make sure we fill orders instead of like advertising product that we can't like deliver on. So now this year, Cobalt has their new low receivers. If you go to the Aimpoint or the EOTech booth, you can find it where it's an fully ambidextrous low receiver, mag release, safety, bolt release, bolt catch, all on both sides of the receiver. Throw in an ambidextrous charging handle. You have a lefty-righty friendly or a faster manual of arms for your righty AR-15. So that's one more company that's jumping on that boat. There were like 9 last year that I did like a tiled image of all their receivers. Like, because I've gotten pushback from people like feds and stuff like that are just so used to working with the standard architecture AR-15 and manual of arms that they're like, this doesn't need ambidextrous controls, it's fine. And one thing that drives me crazy, like Gabe said before, like he agrees with me on my approach to AR-10 stuff, as I don't want to say entrepreneur, and I'm definitely not an engineer, but I'm sure all of us have seen or encountered whenever a new modification, we'll say, is suggested or produced, and it's still like new in its age, and maybe it's got some kinks that got to get worked out until it works. But there are people that like to say it's just introducing another point of failure, and I think that's fucking intellectually lazy, and I hate that. Like, we have, like, go watch Modern Marvels and look at the gigantic things we've, as a species, been able to fucking create that works smoothly and perfectly, and you're talking about this now. Like, how many points of failure have we added to the bolt action rifle to get to where we have now? Like, how many are you willing to accept or not?
Yeah.
Figure it the fuck out and make it work. It might not work the first 2 or 3 times, but it can be done. They got it done with their low receiver. And then there's another company that's actually in my local FFL. They're called Dark Storm Industries. And that's like, if you ever see video or picture of me in an indoor range that's like very black and gray, I'm in their range doing like my function check stuff. And that's where I do my pistol shooting most of the time. And they just introduced a rifle this year. They call it the MFR, Modern Fighting Rifle. And when I was taking my silencer co-lower to them to get it laser engraved once I got it stamped, they were like, hey, how does that work with that ambi thing? And I'm like, well, like, you know, I cracked the lower open and I'm showing them. It's just like a bolt catch. It's one piece. You just make this extra cut and lower so the little tab can come out. And there's multiple companies that have this style of control added. So they did their homework and they came up with this whole new rifle with a low receiver that has this ambidextrous lever style ADM HK Silencer Co. Cobalt style of a bolt release and a bolt catch. It works just like the bad lever. Push up to like lock the bolt back, swipe it down to release the bolt. That I like to see that the industry is stepping more in that direction, because between that and stuff like what Law Tactical did with the ARIC, like, I haven't really paid too much attention to like the user feedback on that thing, but I have heard more good than bad in terms of complaints, and I know there's a bunch of different permutations in development and stuff like that, but I have one. I've just been so busy, I haven't had the chance to shoot with it yet. But when I did my report on it, based on the interview that I did with them to get the information to substantiate everything I was going to write, I was like, you guys have basically added longevity to the AR platform well into the future. Like, against the backdrop of like the NGSW XM7 being such a big deal, it's like, bro, AR is not going anywhere. Like, the stoner rifle is king. Long live the king. So that's some cool. I'm sorry. What were you going to say, Chris?
No, you're good. I'm going once you wrapped on that.
The only other thing that I was going to mention as far as like cool stuff I've seen so far, and I posted about this the other day. Like, I know you guys are familiar with this like evangelical zealot style rant that I do about stoner cut large frame receivers versus DPMS curve cut receivers.
Yes. Yeah,
and I'm like a purist about it, and it's like. I'm talking shit. It's for shits and giggles, but it's funny to see because I don't have to mention brands or names or anything, and it's always like fucking turning on like a bug zapper lamp because of the people that are attracted into the comments section to defend like the DPMS curve cut guns that they have, or like what about my brand of gun that you didn't mention? I'm like, do the receivers have a stoner cut to them? Yes. Go with God. You're good.
If a patch doesn't come out with him as Pope.
So, Challenge Sons accepted. Of Liberty Gunworks just did the new Cowan 308 12.5-inch barrel gun. And the way they did, like, it was so weird because, like, the day that they showed that video, we had a uniform member of service at work. He had some tachycardic heart thing that happened, so... They would send one of us to go chill with him in the hospital per shift. Mm. So I was there for the midnight shift, and I'm looking out the bay windows across the river to New Jersey and just getting lost in my thoughts. And it just pops into my head, like, imagine if Sons of Liberty Gunworks just, like, actually decided to convert from the DPMS Mark 10s to the stoner cut thing. And then, like, 12 hours later, I'm just... fucking around looking at Instagram, and the video starts like panning from the rear of the brace, so we're going from the back of the gun and it's moving, and I'm like, hold up, back up, what did I just see? And I see the angular stoner cut in the receivers, and I was like, holy shit, like, finally. Because I always felt bad because I'm tight with those guys. I love those guys over there. They do good shit, but their Mark 10s were the DPMS curve cut receivers. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of like, guys, I'm not trying to talk shit about you. I'll talk up your 5.56 guns forever. But none of your 308 guns are in stock anyway, so it doesn't even matter. Like, yeah, that's fine. Like, nobody could buy them anyway. It's all good. Because, like, Kyle would pop up in the comments and be like, the receiver patterns make no difference. Like, they work just as well. Then he, like, deletes his comments, and I'm like, come on, Kyle. I'm just joking, man. Don't take it seriously. But
I'm definitely excited about their 308. Their new 308. That Sage Edition is going to be really cool.
Yeah.
It should do well for them on that platform. That their new rails for their L89s, for their upsized rails for that.
The broadsword.
When the ARCA, the non-ARCA. Mm-hmm. They're going to do some cool stuff with the 308 platform or the larger frame AR, as you call it. One of my favorite things on the, and I want to hit this before we get done, is the new, it's not out yet. It's not available for purchase, but Modlight is teasing them. Is their new smaller head? Did you see it? That on a PL350 body is going to get you the lumens in the package and the candela in the package that you want. Super small. Did you see them?
I haven't, like, but now that's the, I'm going to spend some money. That's awesome.
So they've shrank. I don't know what the specs are on that. They're still working on the LEDs. They're still working on making sure that it all works out, but that is going to be, I mean, like, we used to joke around and call it hip dick, right? You know, you put the big flashlight in your pocket and the head's sitting there, so you get hip dick.
I thought it was going to go in a different direction there.
No, anyway. But that makes, I mean, the one you had today we were messing with at the booth, you're like, dude, that's the perfect size flashlight.
Yeah.
It's so small. You can hold the
ow.
You okay there, bud?
Yeah.
You can hold the
speaking of tachycardic episodes.
Yeah. No, it was my back.
The 18350 body and head will fit.
Yeah.
I mean, without sticking out of my head.
That's awesome.
Last time. I woke up to a bunch of messages from people that are like, "Hey, you're at SHOT Show, can you figure that out?" And he's like, it seems from other posts, it's like a CR123 or 18350 dual fuel.
I also saw that.
And
for what? For Modlight?
Yeah, for this new Modlight.
Yeah. Well, all the Modlight heads are now dual fuel.
Okay. Standard.
Right? Standard dual fuel. Perfect. Right? All the handhelds are all multi-mode.
Okay.
All right. Programmable. And I don't know on that head all the specifics.
Okay.
Of it. I looked at it. Said Pill HV2 on the side, multi-mode on the side. That gives me as much as I can talk about that because I don't know any other specs on other than what's written on head.
Yeah, somebody else said, the person that was asking me to find out more said that it was also coming in an OKW version.
Okay, I'm sure. Oh, nice. Yeah. And it's probably, they had the red ones? They had the red lens? Or red LED?
Yeah, the guys saw it yesterday. I didn't see it today, but the guys saw it yesterday.
The red LED as well. But that, or you put that up against the standard PL 350 body. You put that on a railed subgun or subcompact pistol, mm-hmm. you're going to have a really, really
powerful. You know what the light. Form factor kind of reminds me of? Remember a few years ago when like Cloud popped off and showed everybody like.
I was trying not to bring that up, but where's. I'm not.
Matt Tenbards is a really good friend, so I'm not going to say a damn thing.
You want me to go?
Mm-hmm. You got to go get justice. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Ian has been voted off the island.
Ian's done. We had him. He was gone from the podcast for so long. We had him back for such a short amount of time. Leave that door cracked, please. Thank you.
Thank God he was undressing me with his eyes the whole time. You saw that. Okay.
What about you, Gabe? I mean, other than Cobalt stuff, right? What did you see? You see anything cool? Had the chance to see? I know you've been busy.
Funny enough, we were talking about it during lunch. My old alma mater, Taurus. Man, and I know it's like picking on the fat kid in the jungle gym. I get it. I know Taurus's history. But with Brett Voorhees in charge, I love that dude. He brings a big dig energy into the room, and he's allowed his guys to do what we couldn't do before, even though Mark pushed as hard as he could. They just unveiled a bolt-action rifle with a really good price point. It's using a Savage lockup. Right, and the rest of the receiver is a 700 style receiver. It's bedded, right? It's a light profile, cold hammer forged barrel that they're making on their own with a nice twist pattern. I've never been much for flutes. I like contours. It's the barrel maker in me, you know. Threaded with M-lock on the bottom, and the little QD port on the bottom for either a sling or that new tripod dealio from Spartan, I think.
Yeah.
And I was talking to Chan, one of my buddies over there, and I was just extremely impressed. I gave them all a big hug. I got teary-eyed. I'm like, this is why we used to bust our ass on the road, this. And it's just the winds of change. And if Taurus can do it, holy moly. So right now they got 308. I put a bug in their ear. I'm like, man, you got to do a 6 arc. Because they're like, oh, well, the next one is probably going to be 8.6 Blackout or something like that. I'm like, that's cool. And I know they're still working on that. Kevin's been doing great stuff on that. But we've seen what 6 arc can do.
Yep.
And you can imagine a price point sensitive, really specced out factory bolt gun under 800. You could pick them up. And with so many, if you don't want to run that barrel, it's basically a QD system for the barrel nut where now you don't need action wrenches and all this other stuff. You can use an AR tool. I invite you to go check it out. And you can swap barrels at home. And if you get a short chambered pre-fit barrel, you can hand ream it yourself and finish it to your chamber overall length, whatever you want. Taurus did that. Blown away.
I'm going to have to get Brett to send us one.
Yeah. You should. And they were telling me that they're going to sell the receiver sets or the receivers by themselves as well.
Yeah.
Like on Brownell, stuff like that.